You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Rashford is in here. He scores! Marcus Rashford takes yet another step up the ladder. And it's a lad from Manchester who scores.
Only chance in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man U.
Ready!
Thank you, man. Vibes in my head like shampoo. Violate my squad, might bang you. Only champs in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man U. Thank you, man. Vibes in my head like shampoo. Violate my squad, might bang you. Only champs in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man U.
And we are live. Okay, welcome to another episode of Mogga. The day after the big game against Liverpool, and we got a new cast, a diverse cast with us. After a long time abroad in Ghana, he's back with us, flying out in a pandemic, risking COVID for us and these people. We got Stevie. What's going on, my guy?
Yeah, man, Akwaba. No, giving them.
Yee, teach us, man. Teach us. We need to learn.
I know I'm not by here, but I'm not here by choice. You know, I had to get my flat back up. I would have stayed if I didn't lose my phone. I'm not even gonna lie. I would have stayed the whole of January, but yeah, we're back.
You know, come back and suffer with us, man. We want you to be here with us, man.
It's miserable out here, man.
Yeah, come and suffer, man. Come and suffer. This side is in the UK. Rodney, it's been a minute, fam. It's been a minute. What's going on?
Bro, it's been a hot minute. I don't even know the last pod that I've been on, man. But I'm back.
You're back.
I'm here, ready to go.
Back with your outrageous takes and your...
Come on.
You had to poke a few people. Okay, and last but not least, man like Aka. You've been consistent the last few weeks.
Yeah, I'm doing my best Harry Maguire impression. My minutes in. Each week.
Did you prepare that one earlier?
No, he's had that all day.
That's off the cuff.
Harry Maguire, off the cuff, man. Off the cuff.
So before we get into it, we're going to plug our partners. Obviously, you guys should already know about our partners, FanSlide, the in-play app. I don't know. Did you guys play yesterday during the Liverpool game? Stevie, who was your player yesterday?
You know, I backed Bruno to the death, innit? So
yeah, tell him, man.
He had a shocking first half. And he had a shocking second half too. So to be honest, it didn't matter which 20 minutes you picked him in for. You were always going to lose. But I thought he might sneak in with a goal 75 to 90th minute, because I think we scored the most goals in the 90th minute from any other Premier side. So I was hoping he might come good in the last 15, last 20. He didn't. So yeah, I didn't do very well.
He had that chance. He could have buried it. That could have got you some points, man. Akka, who was your main player yesterday? Who was you kind of betting on yesterday with Fanslide?
I had a feeling Martial was going to score yesterday, but I knew he'd be the first person off. So I went with him just after half time, and he flopped. But it is what it is. We moved.
Cavani came on for him in the 60th minute. So if you guys aren't aware, Fanslide, our partner app, man, it's an in-play app, free to use, free to download. It's an opportunity. If you think you're that master tactician, get involved. A chance to win a share of £100 if you get the most points. Play against other people online. Play against your friends. Play against us. Compete with us. So get involved. And also, another thing to plug is our YouTube. We've got a YouTube up. You'll see that we've got some post-game reactions on there. So get involved in that and subscribe to that. The visuals for this pod will be on there in a couple of days. But without further ado, let's get into yesterday's game, man. And Stevie, I'm going to give you the first opportunity to talk because you haven't been on here in a little while. What did you think about our 0-0 draw of Liverpool?
Yeah, it was that match was arse, man. That was, you know what's mad, yeah? Every year on Sky Sports, yeah, they must spend millions gassing up this game. Gassing it for a week, 2 weeks, all I was seeing was articles. I even got gassed. I was on Twitter watching compilations for like 10 minutes long at like 2 a.m. in the night, like proper pump for this match. And then it come about, and of course, like, it's a 0-0 ball draw. Like, that was a terrible match of football. I mean, the result on the face of it, it's not a bad result. I mean, Anfield away, drawing into the Champions, it's progress, isn't it? Like, this time last year, we probably wouldn't have got that result. So we can see we've moved forward. But I think one thing that's probably frustrated a few United fans is that we're like the maybe almost team at the minute. So in all the semi-finals we've played in, we haven't had enough quality to sort of get over the line. Yesterday was another game where, really, if you want to be champions, those are the games. I know it's a difficult one, but those are the games you really want to be pushing on and getting that win. And again, just about, I think we showed that we've got quality, but championship level quality to win the title, I still think there's a gap there and there's a bit missing. So it was bittersweet, I think. Decent performance overall, but I thought we could have showed a bit more initiative towards the end. On another day, maybe Pogba, Bruno would have finished their chances and we were complaining. So, yeah, man. If I look at it, on the face of it, it's not a bad result and I can't be too mad. But, yeah, tinge of disappointment, man.
But, Rodney, isn't it a good thing to leave Anfield disappointed that we haven't taken all 3 points? That's progress for Man United, right?
Yeah, well, recently it's definitely progress to leave Anfield feeling disappointed with only a point. I think last season we lost there 2-0 and we weren't really in the game at all. So yeah, it's result wise, as long as we beat Fulham, a point at that point is a good point. If we don't really beat Fulham, then it's kind of 2 points dropped, especially with the chances Bruno and Pogba had late on. I think it's the Pogba chance and the Bruno chance that is leaving most of us so disappointed. Because had we not have had those chances, I think I would have wiped my forehead and said, phew, we've come away with a point. But late on, those chances there, you just feel like those are the ones that keep you up at night, because you feel that goes in, we're 6 points clear, we've beaten Liverpool at Anfield, we've ended their run. The trajectory for us then is it's only up, we can only get better now. And then we're looking at the Fulham game like, yeah, we're definitely going to win that, or it doesn't really play a big part. But yeah, I feel like it's definitely progress, because I think last time we were 30 points behind and now we're top of it, 3 points clear. So it's definitely progress. Let me not be too down on the result. It's definitely progress for sure.
But Akka, this was Liverpool without Van Dijk, without Joe Gomez, having Henderson and Fabinho playing centre back. Should we have taken all 3 points?
Well, the way the match went, like Rodney said, we can be upset. We should have won the game, I thought. Liverpool showed us a lot of respect, so I think that's progress on our side. Like last year, they just dashed us aside. They put us away 2-0. They were whatever 104 points clear last year, and you know they got away, you know, well clear of us. This year, Klopp showed us respect throughout the whole 90 minutes. He knew about our threat, and I think Klopp was happy with the point. The issue for me is I think we showed them a lot of respect. Yes, they are champions. Yes, they have been great last 2-3 years, but you're not going to get a better chance to win at Anfield personally because they've got a couple of key injuries and there's no fans. You know, we're underestimating. When do we go to Anfield without fans? That place is rocking when United roll into town and the fans are on our necks from the first minute. Yesterday, that element was taken away and you can see the Liverpool players were nervous and they were cagey. And normally your fans get you through these kind of games, but last night they had no fans to get them through the game. So we won't get a better chance for me personally to beat a Klopp side at Anfield. So there is the element of regret, but I suppose you need to have a vision of the bigger picture. Clear progress is being made, but yeah, it's 2 points dropped.
Two points dropped. Yeah, especially that Paul Pogba chance. I think, I personally, the Bruno one, you'd like him to do better, but Bruno is having a stink fest, and usually he has that mentality where he puts those chances, he'll just bang it in, you're thinking, how have you done this? You're doing a 2 out of 10, but somehow you banged this in. But the Pogba one, that's the one where I'm like, come on, LaBille.
You know why it's so disappointing? His first touch was so good that he could have picked any corner.
He's literally... Alisson hasn't had to save that. It's literally hit Alisson. And I feel like this match is like... It was supposed to be... It was billed as the crescendo of his United career. Like, if he scores that, mad thing. Like, that was his moment. Like, it was literally set up for him. And he hit the keeper, man. It's so disappointing. But, I mean, he didn't play badly. But, yeah, just, like, personal disappointment for him. This must be mad for that.
No, of course. Because, obviously, you got the win against Burnley. And, as you say, if he gets the winner away to Liverpool, takes us clear, then it's almost like the performances of the past where he's been below par, you start forgetting them. You start forgiving him, don't you? Yeah. He played on the right wing and then on the left wing. What do you think about how we set up yesterday, Rodney? What did you think about our setup, the formation and the personnel?
The formation it was either that or three at the back. So I'm happy with the 4-2-3-1 because we're not going to go anything else other than those two. I thought I wasn't. You know what? I don't think Ollie played the team that was in front of him. I think he played the reputation because I don't understand the need to play McFred in that game. I think he could have been a bit more braver, if I'm honest with you. Liverpool have got injuries. They're not in the best moment. I think he sort of played their reputation there by going with McFred. And it kind of showed in the game. I think he's going on how they performed last season in big games, McFred, because when we played them last season, I think we went... What did we do? We beat Liverpool 1-0. Then we beat...
Liverpool.
Chelsea 2-1. No, well, we drew with Liverpool 1-1, sorry.
Then at home, Yeah.
Then we beat Chelsea 2-1 away. We beat Spurs 2-1 at home. Then City, what's that? 2-1 away. And then we drew with Spurs 1-1 towards the end of the season. So our record with McFred last season was really good. But I think this season, the big games are just a little bit different in the sense that teams are showing us respect now. So there's not that space for McFred to do what they need to do because they do need time and they do need space. And where that's not available now, I just think they're rendered useless. And we saw that in the game. And when the space opened up late on, you started seeing Fred and McTominay getting into the game because there was more space. Liverpool were tiring and there wasn't that press there. So I think he needs to be a bit more braver. For me, he had to go with Matic and Pogba in the middle and then go with whoever in the front three. You need as much technical ability across the midfield as you can. Because as you saw with Liverpool, they have technical ability everywhere. They have it all the time. Who do they play in midfield? Who was it?
Thiago, Gini.
Wijnaldum.
Gini, Wijnaldum and Shaqiri. Like that technical ability there, it's not even close.
Yeah.
Like I think we were talking about in the group chat, if you laid all six of those midfielders down, like our three is the bottom three. By some distance. And I think when you go into games against Klopp, you need high quality technical players, and I feel like he could have gone with Matic and Pogba, just been a little bit more braver. But I guess you're going to Anfield, but I'm trying not to be too critical of him because he's doing as much as he can for the manager I feel he is. So I'm trying not to be too critical, but I thought we could have been a bit more positive. And the way the game panned out, I suppose he can say, well, in the last 10, 15 minutes, we had chances to win that game, but we could have been out of it in the first 35. So
there was a lot of pressure on us in the first 35. Yeah, go on, go off.
No, I was going to say, I hear you, Rodney. Like, I agree largely with it, but then also on the flip side, it is the champions. It is away at Anfield where they haven't lost in like Lord knows how long. So I know everyone like hates McFred and we all know their limitations, but I think because he's tried and trusted with them, and I don't mean trusted in terms of we always win games when we play them, but we don't really lose when we play them two together. So I wasn't angry at him starting with them. I just think he probably should have brought on Van de Beek or Matic earlier on in the second half where we saw the game was up there to be taken, to be won. And he probably should have kept Martial on. He was keeping the ball better than any of our other forwards. And maybe I think that's where like a big manager might have just taken Bruno off earlier and seen that like this game is not his. But I'm not mad at him for his starting lineup. I'm not mad at him for keeping Bruno on either. But I just thought we could have thrown more at the kitchen sink towards the end of the game.
Because that's the thing. Because obviously, before Matic and Pogba were the thing. Before after lockdown, back in the last season, that was the pivot. It was I don't know why I'm calling Patic, but Pogba and Matic were the pivot. And then you had Greenwood, Rashford, Martial as the three above, and then Bruno in the 10. And that was the winning formula. That was the formula. Yeah. Then obviously Spurs come into town. Jose Mourinho comes into town, gives us a 6-1. He's lost all faith in it. He will play Matic and Pogba against Sheffield United, but big games, he's fearful. Do you think Akar? Do you think that he should have stuck to McFred? We talk a lot about McFred, or do you think, as Rodney said, the difference personnel and Liverpool meant that we could be a bit more expansive and go for Patic, as I'm going to call them now.
I call him Pogmatic, but yeah.
Pogmatic, I like that. Let's go Pogmatic.
That sounds legit.
For me, I think McFred were always going to play. And if you look at their record this year, obviously we had the 6-1 where he went with Pogmatic and we got slapped. And that's really like, left a scar on the team and all his management. So he's always been a bit more fearful of the top six sides. So since then, we've played Chelsea, Arsenal, Man City, Liverpool. We've conceded one goal from a penalty in the four games. So that's his tried and tested way.
But we've not won any, though. We've not won any of those games.
It seems like his mentality is, we'll just take a point, smash up the smaller teams, and that should be enough. So if you smash up the 13, 14 smaller teams and take your points on the road, at home, I think we should be more expansive. Anfield, I 100% get it. But then again, like I said, there was no fans, so there wasn't that element there. So I think he could have been more expansive, but he's going to trust McFred because more times than not, they've kept a clean sheet in the big games this year. And you can see his aim was just not to lose and take a point and keep the momentum going. My issue with McFred is, like I said, we're not scoring enough when they're playing. I think with time, that will come. Maybe with a January signing or a signing in the summer window, you know, that's the next piece in the jigsaw, having someone like they had Thiago pulling the strings for them in the first 30. If we get that player of that calibre, we can then play a more expansive version of football. But McFred did their job, I suppose, because they've kept a clean sheet. That's what they're in the team for. It is frustrating because the game was, like I said, there for the taking when you look back at it.
Because looking at our record, obviously, I think against the top six this season, what was it 3 points in the games we played against them? Whereas
it's pathetic.
It's not good enough. It's not good enough, especially as I was reading today. The minimum in the last 10 seasons that you need against the big six to be champions is 16 points. The absolute minimum.
I think this season is an anomaly, though, because I think the points tally to win the Prem this season is going to be pretty low. Like, the bar is pretty low. But I think our poor start has impacted the way Ollie is approaching these games, because the thing is, a lot of these games we've played against the top six are at home. I think Liverpool and Arsenal, I'm tempted to say, were the only ones.
We played Arsenal.
It's just Liverpool.
Yeah, it's Liverpool away.
Yeah, so we've got to go away to all of these teams
this side of the year, and there's a potential possibility that they're going to have fans as well. So picking up points in those games is going to be tricky, and it might count against us towards the end of the year. But I think just because of the way we started the season, he needed to sort of close up ranks and just shore up our defence and try and get as many bodies in and around the centre backs as possible. But yeah, it's tough, man. We're not losing these games. We're not winning them either. We're top of the table.
We can't keep getting away with drawing games. Yeah. You got to beat your rivals.
I can't have this. This is shambolic, guys. Let's look. If we actually look at the, we haven't won any games, and we've drawn three. Look at the games we've. Look at when we met Chelsea. They were in a bad moment.
Yeah.
We should have played the team in front of us. We didn't. We showed them too much respect.
We were happy to get that draw. Ollie was smiling and shaking Frank's hand. Right. They were both high fiving each other at the end of the game. Right.
It's ridiculous because Chelsea were in a bad bit of form. We should have went there. Same when we played City. City weren't in the best of form. I thought that was an opportunity for us to get at City, and we didn't. The problem I have with McFred is that whilst yes, they potentially give you clean sheets, because last season they gave us no clean sheets.
Yeah, but this year they've given you clean sheets.
Yeah, but whilst they're potentially giving you free clean sheets and stuff, it's just a season where we're not scoring though, so we're getting clean sheets, but there's no goals. So what they're giving, they're taking away. I feel like we still have enough defensively if we play Matic and Pogba, where they give us more attacking side. So what you lose defensively with McFred, you still have a bit defensively with Pogba and Matic, but you have way more going forward. I just don't see how going into big games with McFred is a positive this season. Like, if we need to play teams that are in front of us. We've played the big teams when we've had great opportunities to beat them, and we haven't taken them. The Chelsea and City one especially, that was really poor. And you can't, like, one game where you've lost against Jose Mourinho where you went down to 10 men, that shouldn't really change your thinking. You should be able to set your team up with those two in the middle and be able to say, okay, we lose a bit defensively, so what we're going to do is we're going to tuck Shaw in, or we're going to tuck Aaron Wan-Bissaka in, or we'll put Bailly here, and we'll give certain instructions so that what we lose defensively with McFred, we still gain elsewhere on the pitch with Matic and Pogba. I don't like this thing where we need to be shut up shot. No, we don't. Ollie needs to be that guy that says in big games, all right, cool, we're going to go with Matic and Pogba because they offer so much more than McFred going forward, but this is what we're going to do to negate what they don't offer defensively, and bring certain tactics into the game so we can actually go to these big teams and win.
Do you think, like, Ollie has it in his head, yeah, that, like, because we're United fans, yeah, obviously we're top of the table, we're bare giddy, yeah? Do you think Ollie is just trying to secure us, like, Champions League, and he's not really... I mean, just trying to steady the shit for this season. Because I hear what you're saying, yeah. And like, as United fans, everyone wants us to do that, but there is the slight possibility that we might just get packed in all of those games.
But that's football, bro.
Yeah.
That's football.
I think it's progression, like in the sense. In Ollie's looking at the progression that, like I said, next year when we go out and hopefully buy a DM. Yeah. He's going to play a more expensive brand of football. This year, it's going to be McFred. That's just the way it is.
And also, I'll tell you what, Rodney.
Like, he's banking on. So, he drew with Chelsea. All right, we should have beaten him. I agree. They were there after taking. We should have taken him. But Chelsea have been so whacked. They dropped points after that. So, you know, they sorted themselves out. We lost to Arsenal. Arsenal didn't win a game for 2 months after that. They sorted themselves out. We drew to Man City. Should have won that again. Man City dropped points since. I think Ole is actually banking on that we're good enough to beat the other 13 teams in the league, or 14 teams, taking points off them, making sure we put them away, home and away, get the points on the board, and pick up one point here and there, or pick up a win. For this season, that's his aim. I think next season, when he doesn't trust Pogba, that's a fact. He's not going to play Pogba in a pivot against a big team again.
He's not done that. He's not going to shift Bruno. So he's like... I'm not going to play him in the pivot. I'm not going to shift Bruno, so he has to play on either wing, or, you know, so he's playing him
right wing, left wing. So it's never going to happen. He doesn't trust Pogba. He's not going to play Pogba in a pivot in a big game. You can take that in writing. So I think for this year, he's going to settle on McFred. And then in the summer, depending on our recruitment, is the next phase of this team's evolution. And I think you'll see next year, at least I hope, a more expansive United team in the big games away from home and at home in next season. You'll see that next season. But this year, he doesn't trust that pivot, Pogba Matic, in big games. It's obvious.
Yeah, but that's down to, when I go into games with McFred, I struggle to see what they actually bring. Like, clean sheets, bro.
They're doing one person's job, man. As I said, when we lost to City.
Come on, man.
When we lost to City, I said, I'd rather have one Fernandinho than McFred. I'd rather play with 10 men and Fernandinho than 11 with McFred, because they're literally doing one man's job. The two of them, they come like Siamese twins. They come together. It's ridiculous. He can't play. Why can't he? He can't do McTominay and Pogba. It has to be McFred. They come as a package. It's ridiculous.
There's so many different permutations you could do that give you a bit more than McFred. Like, you could even go Matic and Fred, which we went with last season, and we won a few big games with them as well. Mm. So I don't know, man. McFred, they don't offer enough for me to say, all right, other than keep that clean sheets.
They can't deal with pressure. They can't deal with the first phase. The centre backs have the ball. These guys are missing. They're hiding. They're not showing.
So they hit it long.
Rashford, which was offside five times. And obviously, it wasn't all the time from the centre backs, but he was offside five times because he's trying to run in behind. Just a long ball up top. Where is the build-up play? And talking of Rashford, he started up top yesterday. What did you guys think about that? Obviously, you and Martial swap positions. Open to the floor.
Sometimes I want to criticise Rashford, but he's feeding the streets and he's feeding United. I can't really be too mad at him. But there are just times where I just need more assurance on the ball from him. And there were a couple of times yesterday where I saw the ball come into him and it was just like loose touch. He wasn't quite putting it under his control. And I can't be too mad at him, but I would have liked to see more from him yesterday. Martial was the better of the two yesterday. It seems we can't get both of them performing well in one game, which is a bit annoying. But, he didn't really show up, to be honest. But neither did a lot of our players. Bruno was worse, so...
Yeah, that's true. Bruno had the absolute stinker. I think a lot of what I've seen on the TL, obviously people trying to talk about his record against top six, Bruno specifically. And I think, obviously... With Bruno, obviously, we know that he loves chaos. We know that he's a risk taker. But there was too many times he took a risk when we needed to keep the ball yesterday.
There was one time, where the ball came into him, and he just booted it on the volley, Like, you know when, like, the year 11 are trying to kick your ball out of the school? And he didn't look anywhere for the man. And I just thought, this is bonkers. Like, this is so bizarre. And I think, obviously, when we're playing McFred, you've got two people who are loose in possession. So you'd hope that in your most creative midfielder, you'd have someone who can keep it on the ground and relieve pressure. In various moments in the game for us, and he just did not do that whatsoever yesterday. So I was really disappointed by him. I think he lost possession more times than he made, which is crazy. He was
very loose yesterday. Very, very
brothers, loose. Brothers, brothers, brothers. On my mother's life, he was playing against us. I have never seen a player, a good player. At United have such a bad game. 60% pass completion. That is shock. And some of the times he was getting the ball, it's like he didn't even want the ball. It was like he had to get rid of it in 2 seconds. Like Stevie said, there was one opportunity. No one was even close to him, and he booted the ball up in the air.
Yeah,
I think
yeah,
he
was, yeah, yeah.
I think I think he thought, yeah, I'm going to go for the left-hand side. There must be someone over there. And the ball just went up in the air. There was other times where he tried. You know what's funny? We played our game, and then City played their game. We saw Bruno try an outside of the foot little cross. Oh, embarrassing. Then you go and watch Kevin De Bruyne and pull it off. It's just...
That hurt. Because Bruno tried the outside of the foot thing. Yeah, you see Kevin De Bruyne do it. It's just... It went on Stones' head, fam. I was like, unbelievable. This is the difference.
But yesterday, this is what I hope Bruno fans or irrational Bruno fans are going to take away from the game. When he doesn't score and he doesn't assist, you see how bad his overall game is. He's so like I argue with fans on Twitter all the time, like what he takes away from the game, he doesn't need to take away to be able to give his assists and his goals. You can still be a creative midfielder and be so much better on the ball. You can still be a risk taker and not give away silly possession as he does. I've never seen a creative player who's considered to be so good, people like Ozil, David Silva and that, they don't give the ball away like that. Okay, if you're taking risks where you're trying a dangerous pass, that's fine. Like, United have been starving that. No one's gonna say, oh, Bruno shouldn't be doing that. But simple passes, simple options, he's going for the harder option, that's not even on. It's ridiculous. You can't take so much away from us in big games like that. So if he scored that, no one will be talking about how bad Bruno was. And I feel like hopefully fans will now see that he has to improve on how he takes care of the ball, because how we're going to be able to challenge for titles when we're going into big games and we have a player who's given the ball away 18 times. Like, you can't do that.
No, that's facts. Bruno was very loose with the ball. He wasn't having a good game. Akka, he stayed on to like the 88th, 89th minute when Mason Greenwood came on. Would you have taken him off earlier? And who for?
I would have taken him off earlier. I thought Martial could feel harsh done by coming off first. When I think Stevie said, Martial was one of the better attackers yesterday.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly. From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons. This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal. Listen to The Deal. Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
He was actually doing some completing dribbles, holding the ball, trying to look for a teammate. Rashford and Bruno were, for me, very, very poor yesterday. And when you play a team of Liverpool's calibre, you know, if you want to play that ball over the top or the ball in behind, your pass, touch and finish has to be on point. Especially with you got Alisson in there. He's so good off his line, Alisson, that even if you beat the offside trap, Alisson's going to be there. So everything has to be on point. And we tried it about 8, 9, 10 times and not once was anything on point. The passes were overhit, the touches were sloppy when they got through, and we didn't even get close to any good finishes. So for me, I would have taken Bruno off about 15 minutes earlier and given Mason a little run out. Because Mason does have composure. He does have that, you know, that bit in the final third where, like, let's just say Pogba's chance or Bruno's chance falling to Mason. I'm putting my house on Mason to score that goal. I think Bruno was so poor.
Even in his current form?
Yeah, well, I think he's more likely to score than Bruno and Pogba were, because they were that bad yesterday. Bruno and Rash, sorry. And I just think Bruno had such a bad 75 minutes. And he's looked tired the last couple of games. Against Burnley, he was a bit anonymous for me as well. He looks tired, looks jaded. You've had your 70 minutes, brother. Come off the pitch now. You've had your go. I don't know why he was complaining about I need one more misplaced pass or one more minute. He should have been off long before that. So I think he should have come off.
I think you were saying that whoever was down injured is on one leg.
I thought he was saying one more misplaced pass.
Give me another chance.
One more time.
You know what was funny around that moment? Like, Genie was moaning at him to come off. Like, come.
Yeah,
Genie went off.
Genie went off. Man, you know what? I'm so childish because I found that I was laughing.
I found it hilarious as well.
Genie was like, come off, and then like his number got called. He was so embarrassed walking off the pitch. If you could see his face, oh my god, that was. So, and he didn't run off either. He,
He walked off. He's a Muppet. He's a Muppet, fam. He knew he'd been caught out.
Right, shout out Shaw yesterday, though. That might be the best game I've ever seen him play for us.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Lucas Shaw, yeah.
Right, he padlocked Salah and he still got forward. Like, and he was probably our biggest attacking threat yesterday. So
He played amazing. I'll say one thing about Shaw. Like, after about an hour, I just knew Salah was not going to beat him. I knew it's a wrap. I think one time Salah was in and it was on a counter and Shaw just matched him yard for yard, you know, through the pace. And at that point, I thought Salah is not going to beat him if we play two games today. That's how good Shaw was. Anytime the ball went to Salah, I was like, that's it. Shaw's got it on lock. We're not getting beat on that side. No one, you know, that's it. We're safe. Even Wan-Bissaka had a good game for me, I thought.
Yeah,
Wan-Bissaka and Shaw should have had assists. It should have been 2-0 and they both should have had assists. And that would have been ironic because everyone goes on about Trent and Robertson. But our fullbacks yesterday played much better than their fullbacks.
That's it. That's it. Akko, you speaking facts. That is 100% facts. The Mane, Salah, Firmino, quiet.
Yeah. They switched sides as well. They switched sides to try and get change out of Shaw, and there was no change. There was nobody.
Even
got
their fullbacks. Like, every time Trent got the ball, he was just shitting himself. He was doing what Bruno was doing, kicking the ball away or just putting it out of play. Like, he was on edge yesterday, Trent. Robertson was a bit better, but I thought our fullbacks, even Wan-Bissaka, you see his dribbling. He was a lot braver yesterday. He was pushing on with the ball. He should do that more often. He should back himself. And he should have got an assist for the Pogba goal.
No, he definitely should have got an assist. He definitely should have got an assist.
Yeah, definitely, man.
It's a testament to the centre-backs, or the defence, I should say, playing well. And really good. Obviously, there was a lot of talk before the match, myself included, about should Bailly have started. But Lindelof came in and he looked assured. We kind of limited them to long-range shots. They had 17 shots, but only 3 were on target, where we had 8 shots and 4 of ours were on target. So, so it really showed we were more threatening on their goal. And I guess we definitely had the two best chances. So it's disappointing and it's good to feel that we are disappointed, because last year we weren't in the game, man. Last year we just went to Anfield. We just hoped we weren't smacked up too much.
We got brushed, bro. We got brushed last year.
So
got brushed last. Shout out Lindelof though, because obviously every fan was like, "Where's Bailly?"
Yeah, TL went mad.
And I think we kind of forget that actually Lindelof's been in good form this season. He's not been bad. So I think that was just him this season. That was another good performance from him, another solid performance from him, another solid performance from Maguire. Even I think David De Gea didn't really have much to do, and when he did well. It was like two parts to our game, like the defence and then the attack. Like, it's normally it's the attack at some point and the defence that isn't. Yesterday it was reversed. It's that everything we're doing, like, we can't bring it together, from the manager to players' games to attack and defence. It's like, it's either one or the other.
It's the transitions aren't good, and I blame our DMs for the lack of transition. It's just a lack of transition. But a game where the transitions may not be so important is Wednesday night. We've got Fulham, who are sort of fighting relegation, who got a good point at Tottenham. Was it last week they got a good point at Tottenham?
Yeah.
But what are we feeling for that? Should we change the team? What kind of scores are you looking for? Stevie, what are you feeling about the Fulham game?
Yeah, you know what, second week of the season, I said this Fulham team are dreadful. They are going down. But you know what? Shout out Scott Parker. Yeah, he has brought the team back from the dead. He's dropped a couple players. They got in a few new defenders as well. And they look much more resolute. They look much more of a unit, of a team. And they're not an easy team to beat. Yeah, they got the point against Spurs. I think it was 8 straight draws for them before they lost to Chelsea. Chelsea game, to be honest, when I was watching it, they were still in the game the whole way through and they had 10 men for a long portion of it. So it's not a gimme by any stretch of the imagination. I would really like to see Ole drop Fernandes. More so to give him a rest rather than to punish him for his poor performance. But yeah, to Akib's point, we saw towards the back end of last season that when this guy just plays games on games on games, he starts dropping stinkers without the output.
So I think it could be a chance to get in Van de Beek there, or maybe even an opportunity to play Pogba in the middle. And against a team like Fulham, that's probably one of the games where him and Matic could be dominating the midfield without too much fear of losing the game. So, yeah, it's one where we need to go and win the game after this draw against Liverpool. I think we've got enough to do it, but we just shouldn't be complacent about it. And we need to rotate our players as well.
We definitely need to start using our squad. There were only two substitutions made in the game yesterday. Cavani came on and Greenwood came on. Players like Van de Beek, as you've mentioned, stayed on the bench. Rodney, who would you want to see in Wednesday's game? How should we rotate the squad, if any? What how would you line up and what players would you bring in?
See, the Fulham game, if it was the Fulham before the new year, I would say play whoever and we're getting 3 points. But at the moment, like Stevie said, they look a resolute side, man. They're not really conceding many, and they've got Chelsea. They played Chelsea and Spurs in those games, and they look good defensively. Yes, we're better than both going forward, so I expect us to be able to break down Fulham a lot easier than those teams. But in changes wise, I would definitely give Bruno a rest and play Van de Beek in the number 10 role. Get Matic in the game. Give Telles a game. Get Bailly in. Because I think Lukman's going to be an issue. So I would go with Bailly, because I think Lindelof struggles against that profile of player. So I would get Bailly in the game. I would probably give her a rest to Shaw, definitely. So yeah, my back four would probably be, I'll go Bailly. Maguire's always going to start. Aaron Wan-Bissaka doesn't really have much cover, so he's going to have to start. And then we go Telles, and then I'll probably go Matic. And you can pick whoever he goes alongside, maybe Pogba, because Pogba didn't look comfortable on the right. And I would like to keep Martial on the left after that good performance. Whether it's his fake injury or not is going to play an impact on whether he starts or not. I'd get Greenwood in there as well, and then go Van de Beek, and then up top, I'd probably give Cavani and just rush Rash, man, because I think Rash also, as well as Bruno, has played a lot of minutes. And we can't really afford for their dips to be too bad. So I'd definitely give them a rest, because games are coming thick and fast. We've got quite a good run in at the moment. I don't think we play anyone big until we meet Arsenal in...
They're not big. We've got three games against bottom half sides coming up.
Fulham, Sheffield
United and Arsenal.
Let them have it.
my issue is, like, if you listed 10 games, Arsenal would always be an L for me, because I never feel confident going into that game. Recently, the last two seasons, I've never gone into an Arsenal game thinking we're going to smack these men. As much as I spin on the up block saying, yeah, you man are dead, I never actually go in thinking, yeah, we're going to beat these lot. Yeah. It's been a while since I've gone to an Arsenal game and thought, yeah, Arsenal are going to win this one.
No, we've not done too well against them recently. That's what it is.
Yeah, we haven't.
It's a big game, though. It's a big game coming up, because I think we should be beating them this time around. And, you know, it's going to say a lot about us, because, like I said, we've been going up playing for nil-nils. I'm not really going for the win, but against Arsenal, no excuses. We should be putting them away. We should have put them away in October.
So wait, let me ask you. Versus Arsenal, what are you man saying for the pivot? Let me hear this one then.
It's going to be McFred again, man. It's not what I want.
No.
I want to see Pogba Matic.
Right, cool. What about you, Stevie? Let me hear this one.
Yeah, no. We can't play McFred against us. Arsenal actually, their bottom half side. Like, if you look at their personnel... I'm not even gassing the team. There are 10 sides better than them, so we can't be playing with Fred in that game, man.
He will, though.
We haven't got enough of a threat to do
that. It's a disgrace. You can't play with Fred against them, too. Like, obviously, they may have Vossi's face. Party's coming back into fitness, but even still.
Starting today, isn't it?
Oh, so he's back to fitness then. Then you want to have... we've got to put Pogba and Matic in there. I don't know. I personally think Bruno... Play him against sides in the bottom half, and top six let's get the output. Let's get the output in the game where it doesn't really matter if you have a stinker. But against the top six side, we need to drop this guy. I watched yesterday's game, and he's our talisman. I love the guy, but he can't do. He doesn't have the discipline, and I don't think you can coach it out of him. I don't think if Ollie sits him down and says, "Fam, on a roll, like, just make better decisions. Just take it easy. Just take a touch and think." I don't think he can do that. I think his game is chaos. So I think against the top six sides, Bruno on the bench, fam.
He's starting versus Fulham then?
Yeah, no, I'll give him a rest this time. He actually needs to rest on a roll. Like, I think play Matic in the six and have Pogba and Van de Beek in the eight positions. Give Rashford a rest. Rashford and Bruno have been our best output players. Pogba stepped up recently, but it's been mainly Rashford and Bruno. And if it's not come through them, we're not really winning the game. So give them to a rest. They kind of need it. You can tell on their games that they're just dipping in their form. And give Cavani a run out. Let Martial play on the left. Let Greenwood let him come on the right. Van der Beek and Pogba in the middle. They're technically good players. You've got Matic sweeping up behind them. So that's how I'll start.
With Ole, I can't remember what game it was. It might have been in the Champions League. I can't remember where we rested Bruno and Rashford. And then they had to come on at half time to say to salvage the game for us. Yeah, so I just think Ole's just gonna start with our strongest team possible and hope that we kill off games early and then try and give them minutes that way. Realistically, I can't see him us being top. I can't see him risking the possibility of like a banana skin. Like, I can just see that in Bruno.
Yeah. Are we really saying we can't go to Fulham and win without Bruno Fernandes starting? That is so scary. Do you know what? We're top of the league. Wow.
That's scary. He's got to sit down for Fulham, man.
Rotty,
if I'm the manager, you sit down for that game there. Or, for me, Ollie's got to tell him, yo, listen, sit down for this game because the last game, let me show you a tape of what you did. this right here,
you know Bruno would watch the highlights and blame someone else.
But the guys, I'm telling you, he's a selfish. If he scores an assist in a game, then you man lost. I won, innit? That's the type of player he is. As long as he does his thing, he doesn't care about what other men are doing. I can just tell that's his game there. He needs to sit down for a game, man, because against Liverpool, that was so bad, man. I don't want to see his face. I don't want to see his face.
He stank.
Yeah, I don't want to see his face.
Top six needs to start resting this guy. That may be the thing. Top six, rest Bruno. That may be the thing. Rest him, fam.
The thing is, like, his direct replacement is Van der Beek, who's the complete opposite of him. In the sense, if we had Van der Beek on the pitch yesterday, our transitions would be much better. He wouldn't lose the ball. Van der Beek doesn't lose the ball. Exactly. And it's just like, I just think that makes it, heightens it even more because Bruno is as sloppy as he is. Van der Beek is that good on the ball? I don't know how you guys think.
He's good. He's got the football brain, the Dutch, the one, and they're playing triangles, not the hoof ball.
He's a big game player as well.
The ball. I don't think Dutch players are big game player as well.
He's got big goals in big games for Ajax in Europe and all sorts. So he should get a chance. I agree with you, Mike. I think he should get the chance in the top six game. I think Van der Beek could be a way forward.
Yeah,
he's playing against Tottenham in Champions League semi-finals and that. Come on, and scoring.
I think for the signing, I get for depth-wise, but it's going to sound weird saying this. I think he's actually too good for the side that we are right now. I think technically, and the way he sees the game, the way he plays the game, it's just not suited to his game. I don't know if too good is the right word, but
how must he feel?
I don't think we're like how advanced our football philosophy is suits how he plays, because I think he's expecting triangles and movements from players that not at their level right now.
I just don't know how he can sit in the stands and watch the shit show of Matt Fred can't pass the ball 5 yards or getting fumbling under pressure, knowing what he can do. Like, he must be an absolute bit. Like, he must go home and tell his partner, what the fuck is this? You see that mess that these players are doing, and I can't get a game. I can't even get minutes.
That's a criminal. planning for me. Like, again, it just stinks to me of, like, poor planning. And it's like, we bought him on availability and budget, but really, we should have just broken the bank. And we definitely could have afforded Grealish for that price. If we were looking at Sancho, we should have just gone for a Grealish and just put out the cash for him. And we'd be in a far better situation.
Yeah, I agree.
Grealish would have been, he would have to bench Bruno, unless you play Grealish off the left.
I think he's come through as a Pogba replacement, Van de Beek. Yeah, I think he's been told that as well. So I think when Pogba looks like he's going to be off in the summer, Van der Beek's going to fill that void and get much more game time.
He's such a different player to Pogba.
It's interesting to see what business we do in the summer and what kind of football we play come this time next year. Because I do think there'll be a massive transition over the summer in our style of play and how we approach games. But I do think he's bought in.
That's mad, place. Man. We can't have another transition, man. This is his third season. He's supposed to be nearing the finished article at the moment, man.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see who we get him.
Yeah. See, for Van de Beek, when I watch him play, I just feel like it's just... I judge him on the fact that he's in this United team. He doesn't look dangerous enough, but then I have to remember he's not used to needing to be so individual in your play. Do you get it? He's used to playing triangles and getting into system. Spaces and getting a shot. Yeah, he's used to a system. He's not used to the individuality that you need to play on our side. He doesn't have that 1v1 that Rashford and, well, not so much Martial this season, but Rashford and Martial have, and sometimes Greenwood. He doesn't really have that ability to make something from nothing. And I feel like that's what we need in our team. Players who are individual and players who are good 1v1. That's what we need to get in our team. And because he's not that...
You want Maverick. You want the team for the Maverick.
Exactly. Yeah. And go on.
I was going to say, I don't know where he fits in if Pogba goes. Because to me, if Pogba goes and we get the defensive midfielder to replace McFred that everyone desperately knows we need, then we need two eights who are... like, really comfortable running up and down the pitch. Like, got bags of energy. And maybe Bruno...
Did you do that, though? Pardon? I think that's what it is. I think we're going to get a DM in. McFred's going to get binned. And it's going to be him and Bruno in, 8, 10, whatever you want to call it. And that's what's going to be going forward next year.
You think I'm not so sure.
Sorry, what's that?
I don't think he's got enough legs for that.
I think he could do it. He's that good a player. He's that gifted. I think he can play in 8, 10 or 6. He's that good. But obviously, his preference is 10 and further up the pitch. But yeah. I do get the feeling that I think it's going to be that, Steve. I think it's going to be we're going to get a DM. McFred are going to get benched. The DM's going to be good enough just to sit. And then you're going to have Bruno and Van de Beek running up and down on either side of him.
I reckon he's just here if Bruno gets injured, to be honest.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not even certain that Pogba's going to go. I'm not at the moment, man. I was reading.
Do you think that depends on the league, or do you think that's just like?
No, I just feel like there's not enough out there for him at the moment. And if he wants to go to Juve, we're gonna need a transfer fee. And Juve at the moment, what are they gonna bring to the table? We don't want none of their players. What are they gonna bring to the table? How much are they gonna give us?
We'll demand at least 60. And plus his wage package, plus them still paying for Ronaldo, I think he's going to be techie.
Jeez, they are in a mess, fam. Jeez, the Milan clubs are back on top, yeah?
As bad as we are, but Madrid and Juve are in worse positions than us this year. So Pogba might look at it and he might think, I'll take 300k a week here. There's clear signs of progression at United. You can say what you want. We are progressing in the right direction for me. All right, it might be at snail's pace, but we are going in the right direction. And he might just feel like... I do think he has got a feeling for the club, Pogba. He's an academy lad. He's come back. I do think he does like it at Manchester. He's a popular guy in the dressing room. Ole gives him get-out-of-jail-free card. You know, he gives him better management than other managers. So, I mean, it's not beyond the realms of, he could stay. I think Pogba could stay, but it's interesting.
League title, he stays.
Yeah, we need trophies.
I think the only team who could possibly pose a threat to him leaving at the moment is probably PSG with Poch. I think they kind of need a player like him. So I feel like if PSG
in the middle, because
they've got bums in the midfield at the moment, PSG.
Bar variety.
I feel like that would probably be his best bet. And he'll get league titles over there, as he did when he was at Juve. Like, it's just certain that they win the league every year and they win whatever cups. And then in a Champions League, they do better than us. So I feel like, and PSG have the money all the time.
Well,
so.
I hope they sign Dele Alli then, innit? I hope they get Dele Alli.
Yeah.
To sort of confuse them, innit?
It's 50-50. It's 50-50 for me now, that, because a lot of the talk I'm seeing now is, it used to be when Pogba goes, like in December, November, it was when Pogba goes. And now it's like, I'm seeing reliable journalists say, if Pogba goes. So yeah. I feel like it's 50-50.
He's playing better. Obviously, it's almost like the talk of him leaving sort of took some stress off his back. And he's playing with a bit more freedom. And it looks like he's enjoying his ball again. He definitely looks like he's enjoying it. And I think when he wins the league title with us, I think he stays. But just talk about another player who, we're talking about different positions, another man who played a lot of positions for us up front, number 10 in his later career, dropped into midfield, was a certain Wayne Rooney, who called an end to his career and he took the reins full-time with Derby County. We had an episode, you can check it on Spotify and YouTube, where we did a full Rooney appreciation with a one and certain rant and bants you can check out. But right now, we just wanted to show some love to Wayne Rooney. I'm going to ask you all individually, just to give your sort of best sort of Wayne Rooney moment in the United shirt. Start with you, Rod.
I've got a few, man. I'm going to give a few special mentions, but I'm the City volley, the Newcastle volleys. But my favourite has to be, because obviously you lot know me, so when I say this, you'll say, oh, it makes sense. The drop ball where he just gone in two flying tackles. For me, that has to be my favourite Rooney moment ever. Because, bro, I don't know why the ball Rooney was...
Yeah, he was a menace, fam.
When I watched it at the time, I loved it. And I watched it, but even now I watch it back now, like, what was this guy actually on? Like, that for me is one of my favourite moments that I can talk about the Newcastle volleys, I can talk about the volley versus City, I can talk about the balls that he played over to RVP, I can talk about his halfway line finishes. But that moment there...
That's your mad you, isn't it?
That is what comes to mind. Oh, that drop ball situation. That's the first thing I think. So that's just me anyway. And I think for me and the personality that I have, it makes sense why I would say, yeah, that for me is my favourite moment. Most wouldn't say it, but I'll go with that.
No, I know. I think it just showed that he's not sent, like, upstairs, he's probably not all there correct, isn't it? Like, he's not everything is wide, tight, in it. Like, he's not all correct. And I think you need that. I think to be the type of player Wayne Rooney was, you need to not be stable upstairs. You need a bit of imbalance. What about you, Aka? What's your sort of standout moment?
He's got so many, like Rodney mentioned. The one that I enjoyed was the penalty at Ewood Park to get the 19 title. Stay with you like forever. Like, that's the day we overtook Liverpool, and I'll wait for that day for years and years. And he had a bit of a tough season that year because I think he wanted to leave early on in the season. But came through second half of the season, fair play to him. And the thing with Rooney was, no matter what was going on off the pitch, he always brought his A game. Like Rodney said, that, you know, when he went for that 50-50 drop ball, he always brought that passion and that pride for the shirt. And he hated Liverpool, and I hate Liverpool as well. So
that was he really meant. That's the thing. Rooney, I remember, was it 05-06? We were wearing the black shirt,
kissing the badge
in the front, and he scored a screamer from outside the box, and it's just like. He's a proper Man United player. What about you, Stevie? What about you? What's your favourite Wayne Rooney moment?
Yeah, I have a few still. Obviously, you got the volley versus City, but I think his debut. Yeah, Fenerbahce. I remember I was away on a school trip and I just watched this guy, and I just thought, right, this guy. Because before we bought him, I was like, who is this English guy that we're buying from Everton? Like, is he?
He had a crazy Euros. Remember, he had a mad Euros.
Yeah, but I didn't think he was levels. And then when I saw him in that game, I was like, right, okay, Fergie knows what he's doing. But I think for me, when Ronaldo left, and I thought, who's gonna carry this team? And he just had one of the most outstanding seasons. And I think it was against AC Milan where he bagged, it might have been two headers.
Yeah.
I just thought, right, this guy has literally brought us
out from the dumps. We don't really have a star man in Ronaldo as we did, but this guy's literally carrying our team. And he did the same even when we got packed by Barca again when he scored the equaliser before half-time. Really, I was mad that day. And me foolishly thinking we were back in the game. Obviously, we weren't, but... It just showed
that team was crazy,
the most depressing moment, depressing night I've watched as a United fan. Because you know when you're a United fan, you get gassed. You think, we can match them. And that was literally the only probably about 10 seconds of fun I had in that game.
You got to hold your hand up and say you're playing greatness, isn't it? You just got to say you're playing this team, which is on a stratospheric level. You got Leo Messi in his prime. You got a man like David Villa who's curling from anywhere. You've got anyway. That team was
Rooney. Big moments. The guy always turned up. Always turned up for us, man. Big game player.
Big game player. Proper Man United player. Always giving everything. He'll give it to the ref. He'll give it to the opposing fans. Top player. You don't get Wayne Rooney's often, and that was £27 million well spent back in 2004. So. Right. Yeah, happy retirement, Wayne Rooney, man. And we hope to see another one like you. Obviously, you got your son at the academy, Kai Rooney, signed a contract. So let's see.
His son's going to be a dead baller, man. That never it never works, man.
It never works, ever.
That's like three of his kids in the Real Madrid C team, fam.
Lad, I don't know any
Maldini.
Footballers.
Maldini.
Maldini obviously, but they brought their son through that. You always hear about this guy's son of Sam, but they're rubbish, bro. Let's be honest, they're all rubbish.
The only one I believe in, might be Ronaldo Jr. because he's been packing them in, and his dad doesn't let him eat or play like every day. he might actually become a rich.
You know, he's been decent. Kasper Schmeichel. He's made a good career for himself.
Yeah, but goalkeeper, like, you get less credit for that.
He's good, though. Come on, man. He's been good, though. He's won a Premier League.
If
I'm a keeper and I train a keeper for 20 years, it's easier to get into, like, the
There's an element with him. They thought he's just Michael's son. So we're going to pick him, and he's a goalkeeper. But he's actually a good goalkeeper. Like, he made a great save against us this year. He's got a great catalogue of saves. He's been at Leicester. He's made X amount of appearances for them. And he's won the league. So he's done really well to be, say he's a son. Yeah, a legendary footballer.
Let me be real, bro. When we used to play like Wembley or 21, I used to go and go and I used to be good. So I can't really rate any keepers.
Professional keeper just going to be good in goal.
Definitely keeping to Wembley doubles.
You might be disgusted.
I used to go and go and pull off the maddest saves.
Trevor, you might be awful.
Goalkeeping is 50% enthusiasm, though, and 40% hype.
Stop it, man.
I can't really rate the keeper thing. I was never in the playground thinking, I want to be a keeper. I don't know anybody that was running on the pitch saying names like Van der Sar. Nobody wanted to be a goalkeeper. Nobody wanted to go and goal. Like, there must be a shortage in goalkeepers, seriously, coming through in academies and stuff. Because let's be honest, nobody is going to train their son to be a goalkeeper.
But that might be the move, though.
It's more popular now, though. It's more popular now, I think, with characters like De Gea, Alisson. I think people want to be like...
Yeah, but...
Who am I kidding? You're right, man. No one wants to be a goalkeeper.
I swear Edison was a DM. Edison only became a keeper at 15 or something.
Depends on your height, though. You're right. It depends on your height. Like, some kids have, like, this growth spurt, and then they're, like, 6'6", gangly as fuck, and then they think, I'll be a keeper.
I'm going to play b-ball, but, yeah, that's true. Yeah. This is weird one where you're probably, like, 6'3", so you'll be short in b-ball, but you're a good height for keeper. You're like, keeper. Cool. Let me just stick the football in it.
Yeah.
Definitely. I think people now, like, fathers and that, want to just get their sons that contract, so they think, like, they see their sons
any position.
Yeah, I think they see their son's first touch and think, nah, this guy's not making it. Let me go goalkeeper. I need the millions anyhow. Yeah.
Any position, fam.
Project
any
Michael. Position. Yeah, Project Michael.
Van der Sar, Smarkle, yeah. Project whatever, Project bro. Smarkle, get me them millions. Nah, I'm joking. If there's anyone out there watching, and obviously their son's a goalkeeper or their goalkeeper, I'm joking.
Subscribe.
They're going to be at you.
Make sure they're at you personally, fam. These are the opinion of Rodney only, fam.
Obviously, my at is my middle name, at Stevie and an idiot. So, at me if you think I'm wrong or not.
All right, just to round up, we've got some listeners' questions. I'm going to go into them now. The first one I'm going to ask is over to the floor. Thoughts on Greenwood lately? Form hasn't been great. Hasn't even touched pitch for too long either. Don't you think we should be seeing him consistently at number nine so he can get the experience there? So over to the floor. Yeah. What do people think?
He's 19. He should be in Aloof and Malia, man. Like, give this guy a break. Like, he's going to have...
Don't encourage him. The last time he was in Iceland.
He's just going to have periods where he's not firing as much as he was. And obviously, this season's going to be harder as well because defenders know a bit more about you. They're a bit more used to your strengths. And I think defenders, like, they're a bit more fearful of United as well. So we're not getting as many chances on the break or on the counter as I think we were last season. I think teams are affording us more respect. So, yeah, he's going to adjust. He's going to build physically. And he's not a right winger. So I think we just got to have patience. We're also lucky in the fact that we're top of the league. So we don't need to play him. We don't need to play him.
Yeah, I think what his first season has sort of deluded fans into expecting a 19-year-old to be able to build on that like that. I think you've got to be happy with the progression you show in the first season. Then you've got to understand that young players show a level of inconsistency that he's showing. He's got personal things going on in his life. He's had the media on to him. And this is just generally what happens to young players who burst onto the scene in their second season. I think looking at Greenwood and treating him like a full-fledged professional vet in the league, I think that's unfair. I think you've got to treat him for what he's a 19-year-old young player. A lot of weight on his shoulders at the moment. Just be easy, man. He'll come good. He isn't a right winger. Right now, there's no path for him as the number nine because we're still going with Martial. Give him two or three seasons. He's still a young player. I don't think we should be questioning him right now, man. Honestly.
Take time. Is that the message?
Yeah, definitely. Take time, man. Just cool off, man, because there's other players that you should really be speaking about. And whoever asked that, the listener that asked that question, the level of respect I'm showing you, when really I wanted to say something else.
We're trying to build a fan base here. Not diminish it, Rodney. Rodney, if it was up to Rodney, we have minus 5 fans, fam. This guy is
That's what I'm saying. I showed him a level of respect answering the question just to show that I'm changing. So
we got one which says, did we show too much respect to Liverpool at Anfield? I think Aka kind of touched on that. So we won't go into that. I've got a question here. Given we are practically halfway through the season, what's Ollie's scorecard out of 10, starting with you, Stevie? Out of 10, what are you giving Ollie so far? Number and why? And you guys be thinking eight? As well.
I'll give him an 8.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll give him an 8 because I think year on year we've improved by what? I think it's like 10 points, and really and truly the only real addition to the squad since then has been, or the first 11 since then has been Bruno. So maybe I need to give the 8 to Bruno. But obviously we've had periods of inconsistency at the start, which some may say is down to our lack of pre-season. So I can't give him a 10, but I think he's done well. Like, we're not calling for him to get sacked anymore. So yeah, man.
Wait, speak for yourself.
Okay, Rodney. Okay, you're coming in.
If you got sacked.
What? Say that again?
He's even available if he got sacked. Poch is gone now, so.
Rodney, what number are you giving him?
I'm going to give him... He's top of the league. He's unbeaten away from home, but the coaching is shit and there's other things that are shit. I'll give him a steady 6. I'll give him a steady 6.
That's harsh, man. That's harsh.
Nah, wait. Whilst,
bro, we're top of the league, man.
Whilst we're top
come on, man. Agenda. Come on, Rodney. Yeah.
We're undefeated, 12.
Yeah, whilst we're top of the league and whilst we're undefeated, it is a peculiar season. So it's like when it's like if I go and play football with 2-year-olds now. That's how it is at the moment because everyone's so bad. So whilst we are top of the league at the moment, I think we need to put that into a little bit of context. And the fact the football isn't great, it's just not like it's so easy for the project. For the wheels to fall off because there's so much. It's just so much is just vibes. Mm. So I feel
start,
like I
Rodney, start of the season. What was your where did you think United would finish?
Start of the season, I thought third, and I still think third. I think City will win the league, and I think Paul will come in second. I don't think we haven't got enough to sustain that.
Right now he's overachieving in your mind, but he's in the six.
Who did we buy this summer again?
Well, that's I said that again.
Who did we buy this summer? It was just Tellez and
Van der Beek, Cavani.
Yeah, we bought Jep. So
we bought squad players.
Yeah, he bought squad players. So the squad is really good. Like he can rotate his pivot and stuff. So, but I just feel like we're getting a little bit carried away. Whilst we're top of the league, like the season that most teams are having with COVID and stuff, I just feel like. I can't really give him an 8, man. Football's not good enough to give him an 8 because I wouldn't even give. There's a very few managers I would give 9 or 10, even if they win the league. So I feel like giving him an 8 is just caught in the moment.
You've changed me. I feel like that was reactionary. I'm going down to 7.
That's me.
Wow. Wow. Rodney is terminating people's brains. Wow.
Guys, let's be like, we are top of the league. We are top of the league and we are beaten away from home. But there is so much still to work on. And it's so fragile at the moment. Like, picture this now. Bruno or Rashford gets injured. Where do you go from there? What do you see the team doing? Like it's riding so much on thin ice at the moment, and I just feel like there's not enough for me to say, yeah, Ollie needs to get an 8 or even a 7. I feel like six is being really, really fair, I think. Because I think
we're gonna be really, really harsh.
No. I think it's fair. I think it's fair to be honest with you.
Aka, what are you saying? Because obviously, to be fair, we've not had any big injuries, fortunately. We had a four-strip team that went to Liverpool, knowing their defensive frailties, and we couldn't score. So what are you giving Ollie 18 games into the season? What's your score out of 10 for Ollie you've got a Solskjaer?
It's somewhere between 7 and 8. I think 8 is being too nice to him. Six calling 6 fair is ridiculous, I'm sorry. 6 is not fair. 6 is ass. I'd say 7.5 or 7. He has done well though. Like it was a weird season because there was no preseason, and we suffered in the first 6 games. And you could see the players were tired. Quick turnaround, no preseason. 7 points from 6 games. All right. At that point, he was struggling. At that point, he was a dead man walking. The next 12 games, we've won 9 and drawn 3. We're top of the table. We're scoring more goals than the last few years. We've gained more wins in the last few years. Like I hear what you're saying. It's fragile and it's heavily reliant on individuality and magic. But he's getting a tune out of these players and his man management is great. So just for his man management alone, he has to get a 7 for me. Like no, he's such a good man manager. It just goes under the radar because he's so cool as tactically in terms of coaching. But he's a great man manager. If you look at the way he's handled the Pogba thing, exemplary.
Big man thing. I think we could grab Mario and put him as manager and he'll have great man management as well, bro. I'm being serious.
He's different. It's just about being personable, isn't it? It's just about being personable. And yeah, I always find it weird when managers can't, like, how are you so cold that you can't just banter with 25 people? Just learn their names, learn their partners' names, be friendly, and you're personable. Yeah. That's all you need to do.
The thing with Ole is, credit to him, he wants the best for the club. So you see, like when a man like Pogba start moving a bit mad, he knows Pogba's an asset to the club. So he does the best for the club. He probably swallows his own pride and says to Pogba, turns a blind eye to it. Whereas a man like Mourinho would come, and they don't care about United. This is what I don't like about Mourinho lovers, because I was his biggest fan, but he doesn't care about United. And you can see that in his interviews.
He cares about his brand, doesn't it?
He didn't care. So he's like, no, I'm gonna beat Pogba. I don't care about United. I'll get my payout. Ollie's not about the payout. He's not about beefing, man. He's about getting the best for United and United only. And that's what I like about him. And that affects his man management. And in result, in return, you get really good man management because he's putting the club first and then the players.
Yeah, but this is, what about the other side? Like, you've mentioned man management and you've mentioned he loves the club, but there's other sides to the club. Like,
I've said, look, coaching-wise, yeah. Tactically, like, he's a bit naive. He's not the greatest, that. But he's not a six this year. He's top of the table, man. Come on.
He's overachieving, Rodney. Like, you know what? You thought he'll be third.
Tactically, he might be a six.
Yeah, but listen, that's what I'm saying. A month ago, he was a dead man walking. Like, this is what I'm saying. Another great trait.
He's got grit. He's been on the verge of a sack three times, and he's come through. He's got grit.
Hang on. Because the manager is his form, like points wise, is patchy, similar to some of the players who get criticised week on week out on this pod. You've got to be able to, like, we can't have purple patches where we win 10 games and then we, like, lose 5 or 6. Because if I ask you, man, now to bet money on whether he's going to be able to continue this sort of form into the back end of the season, it's 50-50.
Like, Is it though? Like, since February 1st, since Bruno's come, it's about 33 league games. We've only lost 3, Rodney. And we've got 4 or 5 more points than anyone else in the league. Yeah. Well, I hear what you're saying. It does feel like it's patchy, and it does feel like one step forward, two steps back. But he has shown a great degree of consistency in the last 12 months in the league, and that's fact. The table doesn't lie; we're top of the table.
Yeah, I'll concede he's had a good year points wise. Yeah, I didn't really factor that in actually. He's had a good year points wise, but nah, I can't just give him an A or a.
I can't give him a six.
If Ole was a goalkeeper, like, let's say it was Schmeichel managing the team, I reckon he might have given a 2 or a 3 or something. I'm just glad he's a striker.
You know what's mad is that a month ago, the man was saying, get him out, and a month later...
We're on his neck.
But how can a month later you say 7 out of 10?
He's done 9 wins and 3 draws. He's not lost a game in 2 months, 3 months.
This man, he's a mad guy. It's pure vibes, no tactics. Go out and enjoy yourself, boys. That's his tactic. But somehow, that has elevated us to the top of the league. I don't know. But I can't give a man that's top of the league when I thought at the start of the season we wouldn't even make top 4. Right. I can't give him more. I can't give him less than a 7. I can't. What is he's a 7 out of 10? You can't deny that. It doesn't make sense to me, the league table. It doesn't make sense, but I'm going to run it as long as it's going to stay. And it looks like City, if they win their game in hand, they go top. So, we might as well just enjoy it while it's here.
So, hear this one. I think City are strong. When City win their game in hand and we're not top of the league, because I've heard everyone say top of the league. Mm-hmm. If we don't go top of the league and we do a pod, what are you then going to say to me? Because you don't have the top of the league shout.
Yeah, it's 1 point off, though. It's 1 point off. And look at the transfer windows that they had. So they went out and bought a 65 million. And he's a world-class defender. That guy's a world-class defender. And we got three, four squad players.
But what I'm saying is, some of you, or all of you, have said, yeah, we're top of the league. It's when City win their game in hand, or we lose a couple and we're not top of the league, then what is it? Are we saying that it's because we're in and around the top three?
We shouldn't even be in this conversation. Generally, I thought we'll be like, obviously City and Liverpool haven't run off with it. Obviously, have not been at their top. So I'm not naive. Yeah. Obviously, City and Liverpool have stepped down a notch or two. And we've gone up a notch, and that's where we are. We're now in this area where we're in and around them.
Have we gone up a notch though? Because I read somewhere.
We have, Rodney, though. Because Rodney, all right, Rodney.
We're on similar points last season, though.
No, we're not. We're 12 up. We're 12 points up from last year.
I think we're. Oh, is it 12 now?
No, it's not 12.
It's the long. That we had. We had. 12. It is 12. We had 25 this time last year.
We definitely stepped up and then dropped down.
Rodney, let me ask you, how many points do you think United are going to get this year?
I don't know, man. I'm
saying
really
75 plus. For me, it's going to be 75 plus.
Which is competitive.
And that's progress, because in the last 2-3 years, it's been 65, 66. You can't tell me he's not improving the team and he's not getting more points on the board. He is. It's a fact.
Yeah, he is. But guys, most of your reasons have been he's top of the league, but...
It's not even that for me. For me, it was...
Okay.
Last year was his first full season. His remit was get us back in top four. He did that. Mm. He came third, he got us top four, okay? This year, for me, it was close the gap to the top two and make us an established top four club. Looks like all purposes, we're going to be doing that. We're going to be closing the gap to the top two, and we're going to be top four. Next year, my aim was to go into a title race and go in for the title. Yeah.
So what about
doing his job.
We've not heard anyone mention the fact we got bounced out of the Champions League in the group stage. Come on, guys, man, please.
The Champions League was poor. No, don't get me wrong. The thing is with Ollie, I think with the big games, especially in the top six games, but at the elite level game, I think he can show his inability to compete. I.e., we went to PSG away. Somehow, he got us to win. I don't know what happened, but at home... To control the game, Fred was in a yellow card and Fred was just rushing into every tackle. Man, you talk about man management, tactical management. Take the hothead at the game. He keeps him on red card, we know what happens. Leipzig, we set up 3-5-2. We're down how many goals in the first few minutes? So there are, at the elite level, the European level, I think Ollie will get found out. But for what he's doing now with what he's had, come on, man. He's top of the...
So are we saying that you guys are giving him a 7 and an 8 because you don't expect much from him?
7.
He's
doing his job. Now, for me, it's 7 because he's doing his job.
He's overachieving. Okay.
I give him a 7 because of the points improvement on last year is significant. Plus, I feel like he was handicapped in the transfer market because we know exactly what we needed and he got basically none of that. So I think given the players we bought... And his position in August, where I thought we might finish like 6th compared to what the other teams have done. I think to get us in and around the top of the table is an achievement. So, yeah, there's been mistakes and there's been bad performances. So, 7 revised down from the 8.
Yeah, I just think my problem is like a month ago we could have given him a 4 and a month before that we could have given him a 0. So, it's just... It's very up and down. But all right, if we give him a 7, hopefully he stays where he is, and hopefully we win the league. Like, I'm not gonna wish anything bad on him so that I can be proven right. Hopefully everything you men are saying stays the way it is. But if it doesn't, when we come back on here in a month or so, man are saying 4 out of 10. I'm gonna say this is why I gave him a steady 6.
Mm. I hear that. But what will be key if we are to challenge for the league? Is I think Paul Pogba, and that's a couple of people have sort of alluded to that in their questions. I'm going to amalgamate the questions now. Do you think if we are to win the league, what will be key? Do you think it's Pogba? Do you think it's Bruno? Do you think it's Rashford? What's key if we are going to somehow win this league?
Pogba by playing a lot more games is going to, because the thing is, like, we're playing teams like Burnley, Fulham that we're going to play. If Bailly plays, if you watch the game, like, we're comfortable at the back because of the change of pace he's got. So we're not as vulnerable. And then it allows Pogba to sit in the pivot and go a bit further upfield and drive the team forward. And as you saw against Burnley and hopefully against Fulham in a couple of days, it's going to get us the 3 points where we last year we probably got 1 point. So for me, if we want to win the title or go in the title race, Bailly and Pogba have to have a big 6 months for me.
I agree with that completely. I also think Martial needs to turn up as well. A lot of our goals have come from Rashford and what's his face, Bruno, and we can't rely on them to be fit the entire season. Like, Rashford always tends to have either a dip or an injury, and Bruno, like, if we're gonna play him continuously, he's gonna run out of steam. So, like, Martial, he hasn't been firing this season. He needs to come good and score some important goals if he's not gonna score many.
Rodney, do you agree? Martial, step up, Pogba and Bailly, permanent fixtures in the team for us to be in with any chance?
Yeah, I think Stevie makes a great point. Martial, we need another goal source, because the problem is, whilst it hasn't been an issue now, to go another 18 games or so, or whatever, relying on Bruno and Rashford is going to be a huge ask. So whilst it's not an issue now, I think deeper into the season, is it sustainable? So Martial definitely needs to come in with some goals. Maybe Greenwood, a few more. Maybe Greenwood needs to get a few starts before he can get goals. So I'll go Pogba, a few more goals. Also, Ollie's in-game management needs to be a bit better. Needs to be a bit better. And then I think if we're going to win the league, it will be down to that in-game management and also more goals. Yeah. More goals.
He's improved it a bit this season, though, his in-game management.
Yeah. I mean, has he? I'm not going to argue because I've been on. Like, if you're going to say he has, but I'm going to just. I feel like, you know what I feel like? Friday night, he writes down the subs. Come Saturday or Sunday, yeah. That's what's happening.
Regardless. Do you know what gave that away? It was when Martial came off in the 60th minute. I just knew this guy had it planned like 4 days before. Martial off.
Yeah, regardless of the in-play, he doesn't so rigid.
You could just tell. The clock turned to 60 and he went get off.
Yeah. That's actually what it is. Him and his team sat down and said, when the man don't play FIFA and that, and it's 0-0, on the 60th minute, they normally make a sub. So, who's our sub going to be now? You know what? Martial's not really been good. It's going to be Martial for Cavani. They're not watching the game. They don't care about nothing. That's going to be their sub. And time and time again, there's been a few occasions where he's made subs, and it's been impactful. But more often than not, I feel like his subs are set in stone, and that's what's going to happen. And I don't feel like he's not even reactive because he doesn't react to what's happening in the game. He's not proactive. I feel like he's going to have to improve in that area if he wants to, because we've got another 18 games to go. We've got Europa League coming in. I feel like he's going to have to really work on the in-game, because we're going to have players that are going to be even more tired because we've got Europa League. And whilst our squad is deep enough, we still need a few players on the pitch for us to look competitive. We still need Bruno, Rashford, Pogba, Baye, Lindelof, Maguire even. We still need these players to play in most of the games. So I feel like he's going to have to be a bit more than what he's been at the moment. If come at the end of the season, we're going to be looking at putting trophies in the cabinet.
That's it. That's true. It's true. He needs to take a few more risks. So just to finish off, there's a load of questions. Sorry, guys, we can't get through to all your questions. We'll be here for more than 2 hours, and we know your attention spans aren't that good. Let's just get predictions for Fulham. We spoke about the teams we wanted, but what predictions? Aka, what scoreline are you going for Wednesday?
I think it'll be very similar to the Burnley game. They're going to still have to frustrate. We're going to have a lot of the ball. A 1-2, I'll say 2-0. I think we'll get a 2-0. We're looking better defensively as well. Scoring. Around 6-7 games. 2-0.
Who's scoring?
I think Pogba might have to step up again. I've got a feeling Pogba will step up again. I think Martial's due as well. I think the French boys will get us the result on Wednesday.
L'Equipe de France. Okay. Rodney, what about you?
I'm going to go 1-0. And I'm going to go with a Martial goal.
Jeez. Frenchman to step up as well. Stevie, you backing Martial to come good?
Yeah, no, literally, I was going to go 1-2-0. Martial, one of the goals. I think he's cute enough to get a goal against Fulham, and I can see us. I mean, in his play, man.
No. Brother, how many words could you have used to describe his play? if you want to say the man's cute, leave that to the group chat, innit? You can't have the listening.
I think I can see us getting a second when they're trying to chase it in the last few minutes. So I'll probably go Martial, maybe Greenwood to get on the score sheet as well.
So we're going for an away win. We're going for back to normal business when it comes to our away form. But that's been another episode of Mook. Thank you, Rodney. Thank you, Aka. Thank you, Stevie, for tuning in. Obviously, difficult. Well, disappointing draw at Anfield, but let's get back to winning ways tomorrow at Craven Cottage. All right, people, take care. Thanks for tuning in.
Peace.
Peace.
Peace. Peace. Rashford, he's in here. He scores! Marcus Rashford.
takes yet another step up the ladder. And it's a lad from Manchester who scored.
One Manchester, only chance in my team like Man U.
Ready!
It defies description. So, how about
Martial isolated? Skirtle here.
Thank you, man. Bars in my head like shampoo. Violate my squad might bang you. Only chance in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man U. Thank you, man. Bars in my head like shampoo. Violate my squad might bang you. Only chance in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man U.
Social Podcast Network.